friends and fez. Good friends and fez. Good friends and fez. Good friends and fez. Good friends and fez.
Welcome everyone to Good Friends and Fez, episode 23. Brought to you from the deep, dank underworld of despair with your hosts, Leering Lunatic Lee. Terrifying Tyrannical Tyson.
What's up, guys?
So scary, man.
The Loose Leper Alexis. And I'm Slimy Squeezy Steven. Hey, guys. All right, let's get into it.
General
You know, just quickly, for people that haven't listened before, I've had actually listeners ask me about this, like, what the hell you say when you do that?
I thought it was pretty straightforward.
Yeah, it's not. It's general chit-chat, and yeah. It's said in a meaty way. You unmeaty people. But, I've got a bone to pick with one of our podcasters of his near today, Matt.
Yep.
He's quite often not here.
Yes.
He's the unwanted child of this podcast, Bar Fez, of course. But, so I had my barbecue yesterday for my birthday, which all you lads were at.
Sure did.
And it was brilliant.
I'd like to think it was a good show. We had fun. But I made the Facebook invite about, 3-4 weeks ago?
Yeah, right. Well in advance.
With
a good cover photo.
Well, here's where my story comes in, all right? The good cover photo, yeah?
Yeah.
I had my cover photo up there, and pretty much with the way I see Facebook is you actually have to RSVP, you know? If you're not coming, that's fine, but just let me know that you can't come. If you are coming, that's great. I'll see you there. If you hit maybe, you're an undecisive dickhead. And I hate the maybe button. But the worse than maybe button, I didn't know this was possible, is what Matt did, all right?
Yeah.
I send out the invite. He gets it. He sees the cover photo. And for those at home, the cover photo was a barbecue with the gas cylinder connected to an arse. So a guy was farting to run the barbecue. Anyway, very funny photo. Ha ha ha. Matt likes the photo, but then doesn't RSVP to the actual event.
That's an awful.
And doesn't rock up.
Yeah.
That's all he did. He hit like, but he was too fucking lazy to scroll further down the page and say yes, no, or be a prick and say maybe.
Yeah, that's pretty bad.
That's a new low.
That is a new low. Although, is that almost redeeming in some ways? Like, at least you're saying he appreciated the effort of your photo.
No, it's a slap in the face.
Okay.
It's like, imagine if someone sends you a wedding invite and you send them back a letter saying, oh, the invite looks really nice. That's what it's saying. And then they ring you for weeks to see if you're coming and you just don't reply or you don't send a message or...
Point taken.
Yeah, exactly.
That's terrible. Terrible.
Yeah.
I hate people that do that. It's like, how hard is that? Everyone uses Facebook and everyone would see that event. How hard is it to go yes, no, maybe?
Exactly. You know?
Don't do maybe though.
Yeah.
No, don't do it. Yeah.
Unless it's a legit maybe. But then
there's never a legit lady.
I'd say go no.
But make sure you change it, because people will just be like, there'll be 10 people saying maybe up to the event. Like, I don't know what you're doing.
Yeah.
Change it. Best off just not RSVPing until like a day before, until you know what you're doing, and then hit yes or no.
Yeah.
Like, I'm a 26-year-old man. I'm not going to cry if you say no to a party.
Yeah.
But just let me know so I know what to supply.
Yeah.
That would be a sick Facebook option if you could disable maybe as a possibility to RSVP. Like, you should be able to edit the RSVPs.
Yeah.
And then you can make them funny as well.
But
you have yes or no. And, you know,
yes, no, and if there is no other better option on the night, then I might rock up.
Exactly.
But most likely, I'm just going to have a few beers at home by myself.
Well, I think when you set up the Facebook events, you can choose what other people see. I hate the ones that people set it up so then if someone clicks no, you can't see who said no or maybe.
Yeah, I've seen that.
So it's like you'll get, say, oh shit, I did, you look at something a week later and then you just see everyone that's going, but no one that's invited, like awaiting or no. So it's like, I don't know if any people I know that you know, are not going sort of thing. So it's like, oh, I don't know if I'm going to go or whatever.
Yeah.
But you know, that's annoying because it's like maybe they don't want to see, like, you know, everyone's been to that thing where it's like 5 people, yes, 300 people are waiting.
Yeah. There's an option as well where you can't even see who said yes or no. So there's just like an invite and you don't know who else is coming. It's like, shit, I don't know if it's going to be good or not.
Yeah.
But that was just like it was like in the good old days, though.
Yeah.
I mean, 7 years ago when not everyone had Facebook.
Exactly. There is a
you'd get a message and you're like, hey, come on down to my place for a beer. And you say yes. And then, oh, it might be a good night.
Exactly. Yeah. And if you're ever wondering if your mates are going, send them a text. Be like, I'm going to this party, mate.
Yeah. Talk. Communicate.
Well, that's true. I kind of contradict myself because I do hate the Facebook invite shit. I hate like how bad people are with it. And like you said, Quirbs, the other day, 40% of people will come if you invite them to this shit on Facebook because it just doesn't mean anything.
But if you always go silly on invites.
Yeah.
No, that's just...
But it makes life easy as well. And
I mean, yeah.
As long as you're doing the right thing, as long as you're not one of those cunts.
No, I've never made been to an event in my life. Never. And the day that I do, I will shave my head and become a monk.
Just kill yourself that
day. Yeah, I think I will. That day, I will just jump off a bridge.
I think it is the Halloween theme, so killing yourself would be quite out.
I think people have lost a lot of, like, kind of... they just don't respect, you know, that you have to provide food and drinks and everything. They don't people don't actually understand and think, oh, shit, they're actually preparing for 50 people, you know.
Exactly.
How about I actually tell them if I'm going or not? Like, I sound like a fucking stressing mother.
No, you're speaking the truth.
Yes, you are. Preach it, brother.
You sound like a 6-year-old man. Oh, kids these
days. No, yeah, well, if we finish bitching about this for a second. While on the topic of Facebook, I had an interesting theory, actually, while I was looking through my friends list the other day, is I don't have any other friends with the name Stephen, and I wonder if that's a conscious thought. Like, does anyone else have... How many Lee friends do you have, or Tysons, or... Like, is that something that perhaps you subconsciously avoid? Because I know shitloads of Stevens. Yeah, but you don't want to be one of two? From a friendship group?
I suppose so. Yeah. But I mean, Stephen's very common. Like, we've all got fairly common names. The same. But Stephen, I know more Stephens than I do any, like, Tysons or Alex's.
Oh, I know. Yeah, that's true, but exactly. But I don't have any, none of my mates are Stephen. Like, I don't have another mate who's Stephen.
That's interesting. When in primary school, in year 7, I had 4 Tysons, so I was one of 4. 4 Tysons in the class.
Yeah.
So we were all friends.
Okay, and busted that completely. Yeah,
so in one class.
Yeah, 4 Tysons.
But in primary school, you're a wee bit more forced to be friends with who you're in class with.
Yeah, but we were friends, I guess. But we were still friends in high school, some of us.
Okay.
So we don't really see each other now. But I have been friends with Tysons.
Yeah, okay.
So were you like Tyson B and then you've got Tyson M and shit?
Yeah, so we had A, B, J and can't remember
the other one. BJ!
Yeah.
We had a BJ in primary school with the 4 Tysons.
Just 4 Tysons lined up end to end.
Like a human centipede of cock sucking. Yes.
The other thing with that is, do you hate people with your name?
No, I don't hate
people. I'm fucking Steven.
No. There's no distaste for them.
Do you hate calling... Like, there's another Alex at work, and I always hate going like, hey, Alex, because like saying my own name, and he'd be like, hey, Alex. It just sounds weird.
Yeah.
I make that same stupid joke as well every time I introduce someone. It's like, oh, that would be easy to remember. Like, yes, because it's my name also.
Yeah.
And then sometimes they don't get the joke. They're just like, why? I'm like, you're an idiot.
They've already forgotten your name.
And then then you feel like they've disrespected your name a little bit. It's like, ugh. Yeah. And being a Stephen as well, you got the Stevens with the Vs and the Stevens with the PH. Now, personally, I'm a PH. The classic. And they get those Vs. It's just like, get out of here, man.
And the F, Stefan.
Yeah,
well, that's Stephen, a different not name. Stephen, so. No way.
Anyway, that was my rant.
Yeah, good name rant.
This hasn't been particularly scary yet for a Halloween.
No, it needs to get creepier.
Yeah, let's get a creepy, shall we?
Creepier.
Put the kids away now.
Who you gonna call? Ghostbusters! I didn't even think about that title.
It was good.
It was all right. Anyway, it was great. Ghostbusters. So we're going to have a little bit of a scary yarn now. I was thinking about it the other day, and I think everyone, you know, I don't believe in ghosts or anything like that, but I've definitely had experiences that have been quite, scary or a little bit supernatural or unexplainable. So What I want to do is ask all of the podcasters, when was a time in their life where they've experienced that kind of, you know, external phenomenon or a spiritual kind of voodoo scary shit or something that just wasn't quite right. Yep. And then we're going to bust it, Mythbuster style. And we're going to... With bad science. And only one variable. it's going to be great. So, no, we're going to kick it off with... Lexus, tell us your scary story.
Okay.
And then bust it.
And then bust it wide open.
Bust it wide open.
With some with good some science.
Science semen.
Yeah. Some semen all over the place. well, this is not my story. It's my mum's, though. And we were living in a house, I think two houses ago. There was like bust. One.
Don't.
We were living
don't
in a house.
Bust
with
your
like...
mum, dude. Yeah. That's a bit weird.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Let me finish, guys. So we were living in a house where, like, the top room, there was just a weird feeling in there, an old vibe. We used to play like PlayStation up there, and it was like a really big open window, and at night time, like, we had a massive curtains, but you kind of felt like something was jumping in. Anyway, Mum tells a story that she was going to bed one night, and thought she saw something in there, and there was like the front room's connected to the dining room, and she was sort of walking through to turn off the light. She turned it off and looked around, and there was something there. And she like freaked out and just like ran into her bedroom, which was next to her. She thought she heard it like following her, and she jumped into bed and just got under the covers. And this is a 45-year-old woman doing this at the time.
Yeah,
wow.
Can I just interrupt you? I'm actually getting fucking chills.
I'm not joking. He is. He's got goosebumps.
He is getting goosebumps.
Little pussy.
Jeez, we should point out, this isn't even a nighttime recording session.
Yeah. It's during the day. And we've got beers in hand. So yeah, that's the story. Mum, like, still says there was something there, and it kind of followed her in, like, past these dark rooms into the bedroom. So yeah, that's the story. I guess busting it wide open.
Yeah, bust that mum story open.
Oh, jeez. I just think, like, you know when you look at the light and then it sort of burns that light into your retina, I guess.
Yeah.
She's looked at it, she's turned off the light, looked down, and it sort of stayed in the
left
goopiness.
Yeah.
And she's looked down and it's just gone straight into the middle of the room. She's like, shit, there's someone there. And she stayed looking at it. And then, like, the fluid in your eye moves. It sort of moved a bit, like someone was moving towards her. So she ran away. She got confused with the sound of her own footstep because she was so scared. So brains were processing things like a couple of seconds later. So it sounded like it was someone else's footsteps, not her own, because it wasn't quite in time.
Yeah.
And then when she jumped into bed and sort of calmed down a bit, obviously there was nothing there. Myth busted wide open.
Busted. Busted in the crutch.
All right. Anyone got any other thoughts on that?
No, that sounds pretty good. Yeah. I like your thoughts on it. I mean,
it's very scientific.
Yeah, well, that's what we're doing here.
Yeah.
We are a scientific intelligence podcast, so.
I wouldn't say intelligent, yes. But we're definitely a podcast.
We definitely exist.
Yeah. Right, so does your mum to this day still swear that?
Still, yeah.
And have you explained your thoughts to her?
Well, probably not in the sense that I just thought of it then, which is like the most logical I've ever thought about that. So, no, I'll have to tell her that.
No, you should. I'll just be like, still sleepless nights. You're like, hey, mum, actually, I busted that on my podcast earlier.
Yeah, I won't be like, yeah, don't listen to the podcast, mum, because if we talk about busting all over you.
Well, it's funny when people say, oh, like ghosts or something chase them. What happened if you just stood there and be like, okay.
Come get a taste.
They're going to like chase after you and then just stop and be like, oh, well.
Actually, I can't do anything to you.
Yeah, I'm invisible, so. And you're like, yeah, I'm standing right in front of you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That would be scary as shit if there's something there. Just going, oh my God.
It would be scary. But I think if you saw it every night, you'd kind of get used to it. You'd be like, oh, shut up, Gary. I'm over this now. I'm trying to watch TV. But. All right, so that was busted. Well done. It was the fluid in your mum that the thing that did it. Stephen, what's your spooky, scary story?
All right, mine was when I was a kid. Mine's not about my mum, which she probably appreciates after hearing Lex's story. So mine was, I was over at a mate's place and we were just watching DVDs and stuff like that. I think we were watching the original Alien movie.
Oh, yeah.
So I was quite freaked out already, on edge after that. We were sitting there, we just finished watching that. And then we were in like our respective sleeping bags, just having a chat. And then the light turned off. Yeah. The light just turned off while we were there chatting. And we're just like, what the hell? Like, obviously, we just watched Aliens. We're freaking out a little bit.
Yeah.
It's a bit, it's not really sensical, I guess, because we're not like, oh, yeah, there must be aliens in the house. Like, that's like, oh, really like crazy. Yeah. But, you know, your kids, so your minds start going crazy.
Yeah.
And then we started hearing these, like, footsteps again, running footsteps, in the corridor outside.
Oh, shit.
And then we heard just like a door slam, and then we just heard banging noises.
Wow.
And then we're just sitting there shit scared, and then like the bang noises went on for a while, and I just zipped myself up in my sleeping bag and just stay there till it stopped. Like, neither my friend or I said anything to each other for the rest of that night. We just sat there quietly, literally scared stiff.
Shit.
Stiff and asleep there, your best mate.
So if I can bust this one though.
Yeah, please bust it.
Just like you busted your mate.
Yay. In the bum.
Well,
anal sex.
I think what happened here is a part of the story which I've left out for you guys, but helped me piece together, is we were being babysitted by a teenage couple.
Oh.
So I think what had happened is they turned off the lights on us to try and get us to go to sleep, so they don't have to look after us anymore.
Yeah.
Then they were running down the corridor to get to the bedroom where they were, slammed the door shut, so obviously we weren't going to be like looking at their naked asses.
Oh, yeah.
Exactly. And then the banging was the bed.
It was actual banging.
Yeah, it was actual banging. Yeah.
With some whore getting done.
So yeah, I guess while I was stiff, he was also quite stiff. But yeah,
that's scared stiff.
Yeah, again, I can't confirm that, but looking
it
back,
makes logical sense.
It does.
Yeah.
It does. Yeah.
All right, Tyson. What's your sexual innuendo story?
Mine was not sexual.
Yes, it was.
Yeah, mine's nothing sexual, so this is...
Oh, I don't know.
Oh, here we go.
You could make it sexual, though.
We will.
So we'll see how that goes. A lot of times when I was younger, I had a computer in my garage, and I used to work on that till like 4 or 5 a.m. After work or just working, really. And it was interesting because there wasn't a structured time, but every night I'd do it. It was anywhere from 2 to 5 a.m. I'd hear the sound of ghosts. So I'm in a dark garage.
What?
Yeah. Just bear with me for a sec. I'd be in a dark garage with the computer and I'm working away, and I'd hear ghosts, like, not inside the house, but something like, kind of like a plane would be really far away, but obviously like 2, 3, 4 a.m. or whatever. There's no planes. There's nothing's moving at that time, but it would be every single night. And outside of my house, there's like I have a lot of like, there's parks and there's like a river and things like that, but you can't hear that at all. So it's kind of like, it could be wind. I was thinking it could be wind, but it was definitely like, oh, it was like, and it would be like that every night, and it would go for about 30 seconds.
Yeah.
And I would get chills just like I did when you told that story. And I never knew what it was. One time I went outside and it was really, really loud. Like, I literally could hear it like just full volume. It wasn't crazy. It definitely wasn't inside. But yeah, I guess like, I don't know. It definitely wasn't me just hearing things, because I could hear it every night. Every night it happened. So I figured it had to have been something happening to happen all those consecutive times.
It had to be something happening to happen.
Wow.
Anyway, so to bust. Yeah. So I'm not really sure how to bust this, but my thoughts were about 15 minutes away from my house is a train station at Blackwood. And I thought maybe it's a train going at that time, and because it's so quiet, you can hear it from that far away.
Oh, yeah.
But outside of that, I don't have any thoughts. I don't know if what you guys think, but it's just scary because it happened every single time, and it was at every single night.
Well, you know? On really clear nights, the sound of like a train heaps far away will actually bounce off of like clouds and stuff and just go like that. That's why you can hear it from ages away.
Yeah.
So it could be something like that.
Yeah. Could be, yeah. Mm. Yeah, I think the train's probably a good...
Train?
Well, I think the fact that you were in the shed by yourself on the computer when you were younger at 5 in the morning means you were clearly looking at porn.
When I was younger, I was like 16, 17.
Still looking at porn.
That's a classic porn time.
So I have a feeling that it would have been some poor neighbour who had like night shifts or something would come home from work and see you mid-fap and just go, ugh. Every night at that same time. He always says about 2 or 3.
Yeah,
he just came home and went, ugh.
That's
true.
There we go. But one time I did go outside. I said I went outside and obviously there was no one there.
With
going,
your erect penis coming out of your pants. And he was just like, yeah.
It was pretty chilly, so I went back in.
It was a ninny. A ninny in the alley.
Did we tell you you would sexualize it?
Mine was probably the least scary, I think.
No, I think that's
still scary.
Still scary.
Yeah. Well, I can imagine being in your situation, like out in the shed, 4 in the morning, just being scared shitless.
Yeah. Did you tell anyone else about it?
Yeah. Oh, what do people think? You know, it's ghost stories. Oh, there's no ghosts. You fucking hearing shit. No, I hear it every fucking night.
It's still serious. It's
trouble. Still doesn't mean it's a ghost.
No, that's good. Lee, do you have a story?
I do. It happened, I think it was a couple of years ago, at my parents' beach shack. I was there and I was in like the spare room or whatever. And, you know, when you wake up, but you're still kind of dozy and half asleep or whatever. I woke up and I physically could not turn on my right-hand side. It felt like something was holding me, like, to my right-hand side.
Oh, my God.
And I tried as hard as I could to roll back. And as I'm trying harder and coming awake, I heard a few voices just of people kind of talking. Couldn't really hear what they were saying. It was like, animals, like that. And so in my brain, I'm like, this is ridiculous. I've got to try and turn over. Come on, come on, come on. And so I turned over, and then when I turned over, for like maybe 2 or 3 seconds, there were just photo frames all over the walls. Because we've got like one photo in there.
Yeah.
But for 2 or 3 seconds, there was literally about like 50 photo frames all over the walls. Oh, and then shit. It just kind of slowly faded back to normal. And wow. I was like, oh, fuck.
Yeah, that's what I started.
It creeped me out. But time to bust it in its face.
Just because of the photo frames, were they all the same picture or are they all different?
All different, like all different sizes and shapes. And
there's nothing in them though, they were just the frames.
Like there were pictures, but you couldn't really see them. Yeah, it was just like little hazy stuff. But you could, like, you could see 50 photo frames.
That would have freaked the shit out of me.
Yeah.
It was terrifying.
I think I know what happened, but you go on first.
Well, what I think happened is I've read about there's a stage of sleep where the brain is awake, but the body is still in shutdown mode.
Okay.
And so I think that would have been that form of sleep that made me not be able to turn around. And I think, as you say, that state of fear, when you're like, oh, why can't I turn around?
Yeah.
The voices would have just been part of the dream or something that I was still having. Now, when I finally did turn around, I probably would have been so disorientated that the one photo frame that was there probably just duplicated. Yeah. And it was a real weird sense of sleep as well. Yeah. It was like when you're half dreaming, half awake. It was just fucked up.
Lucid dreams.
So,
you sure you didn't just wake up drunk at Studio 2000?
I probably did.
What am I doing here?
That's a scary day.
Terrifying. Yeah, not even with vouchers I still remember. But so that was weird. It's hard under bust, but it's purely, I think, just the sleep stage that I was in.
I've got a theory.
What's your theory?
So you were actually midway between parallel universes at that time.
Yeah,
and you
were
trying to
sense.
Like bust through the door, but it wasn't letting you. You're leaning right up against the side of it. So one ear was actually like into the other universes. So you could hear every conversation that's been happening at that time.
Yeah.
When you finally busted through, you could see the different orientation of the photo. They only had one photo, but you could see like 100 different parallel universes. So you could see them all at one time. And your brain was like, you're not supposed to be here. So you got slammed back to your universe.
Yeah.
Where you live today.
That makes complete logical sense.
I do not know what drugs you're on, but I want some. Yeah.
Just one hit. That's brilliant. But, that was creepy. But I was thinking, like, you know, if you were a ghost, and like, I like the beach in summer, but there's a lot of very boring times down there when the weather's shit, there's not much to do. So if you really were a ghost, why would you hang out at the beach house during winter, you know?
Where would you hang out if you're a ghost? I reckon the beach is not a bad spot.
Nah, but when it's freezing cold and stuff.
The only good thing... The ghost doesn't feel cold.
You don't know that.
Do they get pushed by wind?
Maybe they love the wind.
But the thing is, like, when you can't go swimming or fishing or anything, the only thing you do there is go to the bakery because it kicks ass. And ghosts can't eat, so they can't do anything.
They can't fish either,
that's
though.
That's right. They can't swim.
Ghosts can't do anything.
You can probe
at the beach.
Yeah. What? In winter? At Normanville? You mean Normanville? Yeah. There's no talent there. Sorry to the people at Normanville, but there are no bodies at Normanville.
Well, we're going to get an angry letter in.
Mayor of Normanville?
Yeah.
I'll have you know, if I was a ghost, I'd love to be here.
You've got too much time on your hands.
I see a guy with another chainsaw coming at us.
Another chainsaw. It's happened before.
Yeah, it has. Yeah.
Definitely. Well, I think we gave science a good G up then, and gave the natural world a bit of a thumb up the date.
It's time for
masturbate.
All right, boys.
Like the Golden Girls having a let off.
That's exactly what I was going for.
Good. Yeah, what else do you masturbate to, man?
Sick of it. Oh, gross.
All right, this is a good old-fashioned masturbate. And so we've got four guys here, so we're going...
Yeah, let's go, guys.
let's masturbate in a circle.
So the topic here is, should trick-or-treating be banned in Australia? Now, trick-or-treating is kind of... I know there's people for and against it, so this is why we're going to dive into the topic. Because it's kind of a more American thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
Like, it's been branched out. We copy a lot from there, you know, whatever they do. And for me, it never kind of latched on, like, with my childhood. We never went kind of trick-or-treating. And, you know, I'm a bit stingy when people came to my house. I can be fuck giving them shit. Because it's like, there's no such thing as Halloween. It's just a free day for, you know... some people to get lollies and things like that. Like, yeah, it's not a tradition here, but I think it's slowly getting bigger, maybe.
Yeah, I don't know. I think, like, supermarkets and retail stores are pushing it.
I don't know
if people are going out trick-or-treating or whatever.
It's nice for cute kids get dressed up, but when you got teenagers, you know, 12, 13-year-olds coming to your house, yeah, that's getting too far. So here we go. We're going to settle it once and for all. Should Tony Abbott... ban.
He is Australian.
This is Australia.
Ban trick or treating. So two guys on four. May as well just go. You know, Stephen sitting. Yep, side by side.
Yeah.
So we'll just go the against. How about the against? Start.
So let's explain who that is, because I can't see how we're sitting.
All right. So, yeah.
All right. Well, we got Lee over on the against side.
Yeah.
Partnered up with Lexus.
How do you want to? Do you want to talk first, Lexus, and then I'll say something, and it'll be like a tag team rebuttal.
Okay.
Style.
There's no time limit.
No
so
time limit.
No time limit.
So say what you're feeling. Say what you're feeling.
Well, I'm feeling.
I'll stand behind you and nod.
Like, against politics.
For it. Yeah.
I think just because America's done it doesn't mean like we have to do it. They can have their things. We can have our things. We don't need to take on Halloween just because it's like, I think the story of Halloween starts with like the Pilgrim Americans. It doesn't have anything to do with Australia. We don't need to do it at all. That's my first point. My second point.
Yeah.
Demonstrated by you.
Mm-hmm. By me.
Go. Now
Lexus's second point, which is my point, but I agree with it. Look, I'm not going to lie. When I was a kid, I trick or treated, but right now I am ashamed to say that because it brings no good to the world. Trick or treating, none at all.
Preach.
Well, I'm about to preach, brother, because this is why. All right, it's trick or treat. So pretty much, you're playing a nasty prank on your neighbours who are good tax-paying citizens who don't deserve to have toilet paper thrown at their house, or eggs thrown at their house, or graffiti or any of that because of something that was brought over from America and they never even believed in, all right? Also on top of that, if they do give you a treat, they're just fattening the nation. The last thing that kids need is more sugar, more chocolate and trans fats and all that. And doing a little walk down the road isn't going to work off 58 Mars bars, is it? So health-wise, it's bad for you. It's vandalism straight up. And it's just not needed.
Mm. Actually, to add to that as well, just like Valentine's Day, it's like completely thought up by mega corporations.
Yeah.
Well, so is Halloween here, because the only place I've really heard of Halloween is in the big stores. It's not none of my... Well, the only reason as well, like the young generation will have it, and I'm talking our generation, like the 20, 26-year-olds, is like an excuse to get drunk. So that's just introducing alcoholism into the nation, this great nation that we live in.
Yeah. All right, do we get our chance yet?
No, we've decided.
We're going to hold this company. We're going to talk until they close, like America did.
Do you have any more points?
No, I think they're all pretty much covered. I mean, as you said, it's a major corporation. It's just trying to get more money. It's fattening our kids. It's senseless vandalism. And on top of that, it's not even an Australian tradition.
It's Americanism.
Yeah. That's... And I feel strongly against vandalism.
All right. I think we rest our case.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Do you want me to hit this one off first?
Yeah, you go. You seem pretty eager to get your 2 cents in.
First of all, I think when you're speaking about the origins of Halloween, I think it started around the Horrors Festival. Last I checked, we harvest a lot of stuff in Australia, so it's very apt. Second of all, have you guys heard of a thing called fun? It's all right to have a fun day, all right?
Nah.
It's all right to go out and enjoy yourself.
Nothing fun about senseless vandalism and unhealthy children.
Vandalism isn't necessary. Yeah, I think if you're a stinge, you should be punished. There's too many stingy people in the world. Yeah. If you can't afford to give a kid an M&M, you deserve to get your house TP'd.
You are the worst trick or treater ever.
That's your sense of being generous. One chocolate covered nugget.
Exactly. And yeah, Tyson, we can bounce off each other here.
Yeah, we can bounce off. But another thing is, like, when you move into a new neighborhood, so a lot of people are moving houses these days, a lot of people rent, you know, you're changing suburbs all the time. How do you get to know your suburb? How do you get to know your street? You don't walk house by house and go, oh, hey, I moved up fucking 3 streets there. No one does that. You use Halloween. That is the one day of the year you can walk around and meet everyone in your neighborhood.
Sorry to interrupt.
Oh, yeah.
I would like a rebuttal after this.
I'm curious. Right?
So you can walk in, you know, oh, yeah, I live up there. Do you have any lollies, you know?
No, it's a good way to meet. No, we're still going here. Another thing is, if you've got kids, man, you want to connect with them with common interests. Better way to connect with a common interest?
Candy from strangers.
Costumes, mate. Costumes are a big part of Halloween. Make them dress up in your common interests.
I've got a thing for nurses, 12-year-old child.
Exactly. Then they'll grow up loving nurses.
And the other thing is, the retail industry is dead. Really, it is dead. It cannot survive if we take Halloween away from the retail industry.
Yeah.
It is at its knees. It's shot. The retail industry is nearly gone. You take this one day away from them, and it's a disaster.
The government deliberately injected money into the Australian people so they could spend it. What better way to spend it than on costumes and candy? You guys are ruining Australia's economy.
I'll give you economy and bloody social statues.
And the families are crumbling, no longer a common interest being shared. And the general community, like Tyson was saying.
You don't know who so you guys around you.
Like, so what I'm hearing is you guys are against community, against family, and against the economy.
There is nothing...
Wait, is it our time for rebuttal?
It's your time, it's your time.
Take us away.
I'll tell you that. There is nothing community spirited about going over to someone's place you don't know and demanding free shit from their house, and if they don't, you vandalize it. That is not connecting with people. Connecting with people is bloody going over, saying hello, introducing yourself, sharing, caring.
Bring a basket of banana bread around.
Yeah, exactly.
I've just moved in.
Yeah.
No one does that though.
Give. Don't receive.
All right, we're just speaking of bringing a basket of banana bread. How about you bring a bucket of water with apples in it? Hilarious, good fun. Halloween.
Go bobbing for apples.
What? Well, I'll give him the point because that bombing for hours is a Halloween thing.
No, yeah. It's not. Yes, yeah. It is. Well, it's a Halloween
just
tradition.
A general party trick.
No, it's a Halloween tradition. And you wouldn't have known about it if it wasn't for the beauty that is Halloween.
Nah.
I'm starting to rest my case.
Well, you weren't even talking. All right, the other thing is, well, someone think of the children. The children's safety. They have to go up to the houses so that the local paedophile can go, oh, where do you live? You live three houses over? Oh, great, yeah. When are your parents around? I'll be sure to be there.
The parents are with them.
Oh, Stephen. Stephen. Are they? I don't know if they are.
No.
They're not. Because the kids are little shits. They're like, nah, mum, we don't want you to be there. Because they want as much candy as possible if mum's there.
If the kids are that big a shit, they're going to be a big shit some other day and end up with a pedophile, all right? It doesn't matter if it's Halloween or not.
Well, Halloween's a great time for a pedophile to map out where the cutest kids are around the neighborhood.
That's it. So, you know, if you want to support pedophilia.
Okay.
Support
go,
Halloween.
Go do it. Go support Halloween.
Go trick or treating.
Yeah.
Alright, well, we're clearly not against pedophilia. Tyson, do you have anything else to say here?
Well, I'm a bit.
No, we're clearly not against pedophilia. So we clearly are against pedophilia.
Venomore! I'm doing it! What is the view? Words got the best of me.
We're clearly against
pedophilia. And, but if you want to dress up as the pedophile bear,
pedo bear,
that would be hilarious.
As a 47-year-old man?
Yeah. But also, like, another big part of Halloween is boobs. Especially at older parties.
Slutty costumes?
Yeah, slutty costumes. You guys are telling me, like, I can deal with you guys being against the economy, can deal with you guys being against families, can't deal with you guys being against boobs.
We're not against boobs.
Sounds like it.
Nothing wrong with saying a pimps or hoes night. That's universal. Or come dress slutty night. Or strip clubs.
Boring. Or just a regular Saturday night, come dressed up.
Yeah, exactly. If you need one fake holiday to see a bit of cleavage, I feel sorry for both of you.
Well, then you should, but still let me have that holiday.
And what holiday do you get something sweet on the side?
Sweet on the side.
Easter, motherfucker. Easter's all about chocolate.
Without the Christian attachments, alright?
Yeah, fuck religion.
Isn't Halloween Christian as well?
I don't think so.
I thought it was like...
Well, not in Australia.
No, but over there, I thought it was some religious thing.
No.
That's
not a horror festival, man. Just harvest your crops, dig out a pumpkin, have a good time.
Burn some witches.
Yeah.
See some
cleavage.
When
is it
going
to stop,
though? Well, no, Lexus is coming over to our side, it sounds like.
What? I just like boobs any time of the year.
So how are we going to settle this? Are we going to just...
Sounds like a stalemate.
Yeah.
It's going
to
be
leave it up to the public, maybe?
Yeah. Yep. Tweet at us who you think won.
All four of you, write in.
Yeah.
Please. And people from Normanville, please still write in. Okay, on that note, we are switching over to Big Steven with his scary little...
Come on, Big Steven.
Yeah. That's what the ladies call me. Because I'm underwhelming. Oh man, that's scary. Speaking of scary, scary tales and nursery crimes.
Terrifying.
So my segment is scary tales and nursery crimes. What I want is a twist on the classic nursery rhymes and fairy tales you all heard as kids that would make them apt for a Halloween story.
Mm-hmm.
So what I want stories that would give kids sleepless nights. I'll designate each of you a classic story, and I want to hear... So just one twist on the story that turns it from being a fun kid story into a Halloween tale.
Okay.
And then I just want to hear like the abridged version of the story. I don't need like... Yeah, doesn't need to go for 20
minutes.
You
don't want an 800-page script.
Yeah, exactly.
Done.
All right, well, let's kick this one off first with... let's kick it off with Lexus. With the classic nursery rhyme of Humpty Dumpty.
All right, classic nursery rhyme. As far as I know, basically he falls off the wall, and that's it. They can't put him back together again.
Yeah. I think there's a lot more. You're missing a lot.
Well, is there? Because I don't know what else there is. So that's gonna
Humpty Dumpty sat on the wall.
He had a big fall.
Yeah.
King horses.
Yeah.
What are horses trying to put an egg together for?
No thumbs. Yeah. Useless.
Yeah.
That would be
absolutely useless. Anyway, so I'm pretty much going to go with story ends, or at least where I think it ends. So Humpty's had a big fall, he's got a crack in his head, they can't put him together again. Big deal. Well, he survived.
Yeah.
But now he's got brain damage, everyone.
Oh, fuck.
So now he's a drain on the economy.
Kids like, oh my gosh.
That's scary. That's scary.
The stock exchange is plummeting.
He's the guy you walk past in the street, he's got a crack in his head, and he's like, oh, can I have some money, man? I need my yolk injections. But people just keep walking past. So his life from that point is a guy who lives on the street, can barely form a sentence, and is just trying to get whatever donations he can. Maybe it's not scary in the traditional sense.
No, you got that wrong.
I like that story because nowhere in the story does it say that he's an egg. He's just been assumed, perhaps in the original illustrations, but I wonder if that's been tied into the fact that, like, because you can get Humpty Dumpty Easter eggs.
Yeah.
So, I remember seeing a storybook where he was.
Yeah, there's a storybook with him as an egg, but.
But it's not the original story.
Not chocolate egg, though. He was like a normal egg.
Yeah, I wonder if they did that because it was already quite a scary kid for children, and they wanted to put it back. Like, it was just a normal dude sitting on a wall.
Yeah,
face planted. Yeah. He had horses trampling on him. And they're like, well, that's a bit heavy. Let's make him an egg.
Yeah, true that. Yeah, essentially, it's just some guy falling off a wall and dying.
Yeah.
It's not a good story.
Yeah. I mean, the original story doesn't actually say what happened to him. He just had a big fall.
But yeah, they said they couldn't put him back together again.
I'm surprised they haven't made a movie out of it.
Well, there's not a lot
probably
happening. Coming.
Probably, yeah but done. Hollywood these days.
Yeah.
Man on a ledge. That was a guy on a ledge.
Right. Yeah. Did he, spoiler alert, but did he jump off the edge?
Did he have a great
hole? No, he didn't. It was some crap about him infiltrating some mob. It was shit.
That shit.
Don't say it.
Actually, maybe the original story is like a story about suicide where he jumped off, he splattered, all his bits went everywhere, and they're like, shit, this is our first case of suicide.
So they sent the entire army.
Yeah. They're like, we don't want this to get out. Let's pretend he just fell off. So horses are there just like stamping his
legs. Yeah. There you go.
I mean, it's dark.
Very dark.
The original was a lot darker than what you said. All right, yeah, sorry. Let's keep going with this then.
Keep going.
Lee, you ready?
I'm ready.
Storytelling on?
Yeesh.
I want to know a Halloween twist on Peter Pan.
Oh, okay.
The boy that never grows up.
The boy that never grows up. Well, I think that's scary enough in itself, all right? Because generally, people who never grow up mentally, you know, not to go back to our previous segment, but turn out to be a little bit pedophilic. So, Peter Pan comes flying to Wendy's window and takes her away to Neverland, all right? Now, in the actual story itself, Neverland is this amazing place where all these lost children are and they fight Peter Pan, not Peter Pan, Hook and all that stuff.
Yeah.
But Neverland's not like that at all in the Halloween version. Neverland is a very Joseph Fritzl-esque prison where all these kids are actually kept there.
Who is that guy?
And held again. You don't know who Joseph Fritzl was?
Huh?
He was like some creepy... Do you know? Yeah. Dyson?
Oh, no.
No? It was some German guy who like held hostage. It was weird. What was it?
Did he experiment on twins?
No, he had children.
It sounds so wrong.
So like underneath his house, he built like another tiny little house where he kept his daughter and his wife and the wife's kids, and the daughter's kids, but he had sex with the daughter to produce, like, inbred kids.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
It was just...
And it just kind of kept going, like, it was just... Yeah.
So that's Joseph Fritzl. So this is what...
Thanks, man.
Yeah.
So what an episode.
This is what Peter Pan's going to turn out to be, because it's this creepy guy who flies to your window, takes your children at night to a place that, you know, Neverland. No one knows where it is. It's actually a dangerous dungeon of terrible things. And the fact is that Hook is actually a policeman who's trying to find these kids. But he just can't because Neverland is just impossible to find.
So Peter Pan takes kids to this horrible place.
Yeah, Neverland, yeah. And he brainwashes them to think that Hook is the enemy, when in actual fact, Hook is a policeman just trying to find out.
Oh.
So he says to these kids, oh, Hook is a nasty pirate who will come and take you away from this place and kill you.
So they're called the Lost Boys because they've lost their homes.
They're abductees.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Would it make children not trust men in tights?
Yes. So the ballet industry would suffer. But yeah, so that's pretty much the moral of the Peter Pan horror story.
How does it end? How does the story end?
Oh, how does it end?
Yeah.
Well, eventually Hook, you know, because always a good guy's got to win. So yeah. Hook, being Detective McKenzie from Downtown Station,
yeah.
finds Neverland through a bunch of informants and then kicks down the door and fucking just puts a bullet in Peter Pan's head. Like, that's how it happens.
Yeah.
Yeah, kind of like Ransom style. So, like, Mel Gibson, I think, could play Detective Hook slash McKenzie because he just loves revenge movies. So, yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
I would like to see Robin Williams continue to play Hook.
Who'll be the pedophile?
He played Peter Pan.
Oh, did he?
Yeah.
Yeah, but he was the good guy, so let's make him the good guy still.
That's true. Okay.
Yeah.
Who was Hook in that?
Dustin Hoffman.
That's right.
Yeah. Was it?
Yeah.
Shit.
Good movie.
Oh, great movie. Loved it.
I'd like to watch it right now.
Mm. See you guys. All right, now let's get on to Tyson. Tyson, you ready for your story?
Yeah.
All right, brother. Your story is Cinderella.
Oh, cool. Cinderella, my favorite. All right. My twist on it wouldn't be like, when you think of Cinderella, I think I may have only watched it once, so I'm loosely in with details of actually what happens. But I think my twist on it wouldn't actually change the story too much. It's basically the prince. Is that what you call him?
The
prince. He is a stalker. And he sees his girl's shoe and he hunts down and stalks the Cinderella, who's lost her shoe.
Yes.
Yeah. So basically the story is he finds shoes from girls and he'll try and hunt them down and stalk them. So then this will, instead of the other way around, where I think in the real story, Cinderella obviously wants to be found.
Yes.
She won't want to be found in this. Okay. So that's the big flip around.
Why is she scared of the prince?
Because he will hunt down and stalk.
Yeah, but will he do anything worse than stalker?
Oh, well, yeah. Once he gets to her, I don't know, leave it up to your imagination.
Okay. So it's a Goosebumps two-story adventure movie.
So basically, this will teach little kids not to leave their shoes on the ground. And that's how the nursery rhyme begins. So girls won't put their they'll put their shoes and tuck it away in their cupboards. They won't leave it along the ground because if a guy finds a shoe, they'll try and find out what girl's shoe that is, stalk them. Put them in a dungeon, a few fists to the face.
Glad you said to the face. Oh.
Can I have a title for that?
Yes.
Instead of Cinderella, it's called Tinder Fella. Creepy stalker dude who uses Tinder.
Yeah.
And is a fella. Tinder Fella.
Well done.
Thank you.
He's a bit of a stalker, isn't he? Like, oh, here's a shoe. I've got to find this.
Well, yeah. In the original, he's already a bit of a stalker.
Yeah.
In a way.
Maybe he likes the smell of it. It's just like, that's a good musk.
Yeah, he's got like a foot fetish. Yeah.
Cinderella's got some athlete's foot going on.
All right. So I didn't give myself a story, but I'll quickly give this a whirl. Someone else has got perhaps a favorite story they had as a kid that I can ruin for them.
Goldilocks and the Three Bears.
Yeah, you can go with that.
Goldilocks
is all right. So the general premise is she rolls into some random house and then she tries these bears things out and then she runs
porridge.
Away. Porridge, bears,
too hot,
whatever.
Yep.
Right. The twists on this are just that she actually gets more severe punishments when she gets to the part that's too hot, scalds her face. Like, it's not just like, ew, it's too hot. It's, I now have like deformed fingers.
Good.
And when she gets into the bed that's too soft, she sinks into it and almost suffocates. She has all these near-death experiences in this story that teaches kids, don't fuck with other people's property. That's the general thing. So she just comes out a disfigured girl with... Yeah, that almost gets mauled by bears.
Does she escape still?
She still escapes. Still escapes. Don't want it to be too heavy for the kids.
Raped by bears.
just a few lost fingers, you know. It's not too much for the kids.
Yeah, what's the other one? Chairs. Yeah, so she's sits on the chair, it's too hard, splinter goes into her spine, and then...
Yeah. Oh, it's kind of like Saw style. It's all these weird...
It's just, when she gets home, the bear's like, you want to play a game?
The little bear comes riding in on a tricycle.
That's dumb.
Yeah, so that's what that would be. I think that's, yeah.
That's good. I'd watch it.
Yeah. Good. It's mainly designed for kids, but I'm glad it's got your vote, cousin.
Yeah.
Cool. All right. So that's enough of my my tales.
Tales of tragedy. Speaking of awful tales, repossession. Possession.
What?
Yeah. What? What was that?
All right. So my segment, guys. I was thinking about Halloween, and it's got a real fear factor around it. So I want to know for you guys, when maybe as a kid you were scared shitless, and did it scare you enough to the point where you still remember it to this day, and does it have a lingering effect on you? So I'll start off giving an example. When I was a kid, me and my younger brother convinced my mum that we really wanted to watch Terminator 2. I mean, that's not a really bad film, but there was one scene where that he's on the phone to the Terminator. And, like, you know, there's that the liquid metal guy and then Arnold Schwarzenegger?
Yeah.
The liquid metal guy had gone into the other little shit's house. I'm not explaining this very well, but there's a scene where, like, the camera moves away from the phone.
Telephone, yeah.
Yeah. The mum's on the phone, but then it, like, zooms out and her arm turns into a sword. And the sword goes into like the dad's throat, and it's gone through his mouth. He's like got the carton of milk.
Yeah.
That scene scared the shit out of me. And when me and my brother saw it, we were just like, ah, we like turned off the TV. So I remember like getting into bed and not sleeping at all that night. Yeah. And the next morning getting up, just being like, I'm still so scared. This thing is ridiculous. And then watching like a film clip by No Doubt, like a Don't Speak.
Yeah.
Do you guys know that song?
Yeah. Don't Speak.
Don't sing it.
Don't tell the cousin.
Alright, be quiet. I really hate when people like, my brother does it all the time to me because he knows with this song I just can't hear it to this day and not have some like lingering effect where like I feel weird because I've been so shit scared, and it's with me to this day. Every time I hear that song I go,
why that
funny
song? Is that using that scene?
No, it's not. I don't know where the connection came from. Like, it was, I just remember the next day watching that film clip for some reason and still being scared as hell. So that's, like, resonated.
So you can
something.
Watch, you can watch Terminator.
I can watch Terminator.
But you can't listen,
I can't listen to that song. Okay. It's just a weird thing. So, like, do you guys have odd things like that where it still freaks you out to this day? So we'll start off with my main man, Luke Burton.
Yeah, I've just got, like, an image that stayed in my head forever. And I think it's why I really don't like lizards now. I think it would have been either in reception or year one, so I would have been about 6 or 7 years old at school. Like, all these kids were running around like, oh, have you seen it? Have you seen it? And I was like, nah. And, like, you know, they would keep on telling people to go have a look at this thing. And it was at, like, the back of the schoolyard there. And there was, like, this big blue-tongued lizard that obviously someone had cut its head off.
Oh,
and so it was the body and then, like, a 15-centimeter gap and then the lizard's head, but the eyes were still open and its mouth was still a bit open as well. And it was just a very vivid image. And I remember seeing that. Like, I didn't scream or anything, but you know when you just kind of, like, cower a little bit and you just hold your dick really hard? And you're like,
No, I know exactly what you mean.
I did that, and I think ever since then, I think that's why I really don't like lizards, because, like, you know, I'm not scared, I won't run away if I see them, I'm like, oh, but I'll never pick one up or pat it or anything like that, because I'm like, ugh, like, its head will fall off. And,
no, shit, that's, yeah. Because the lizard's thing getting hurt there, in that story.
Yeah.
So it's not like you're scared of lizards because you think it would do you harm.
No, it's just the image. It's just, I feel just like it's just going to, you know, if I pick up a lizard, it will just disintegrate or its head will fall off.
Yeah
just,
right.
Yeah. Grotty.
That's freaky.
Yeah. That, and I saw a fat pair of boobs.
No, I hate boobs.
I just feel like I had to add something stupid to that.
No, I can understand that. Yep.
Yeah. I'll roll with mine. I guess it probably sounds a bit lame. I used to do like vac swim or something when I was younger. Like, in school holidays at primary school, you'd go swimming and you'd get taught how to swim or whatever.
Yeah.
And they had like from what I thought when I was younger, is a huge flying fox. Now, it was probably fucking tiny. I hadn't really ever been on rides when I was younger. So I think, like, from my memory, that's like the first ride I've been on. For me, that was kind of like a roller coaster sort of thing.
Yeah.
So I kind of went on it for the first time. Like, I saw other kids doing it and the, oh, this is so much fun. I love Batman. I had a cape. I don't know why I would go to a swimming center with a cape. I just remember from what my mum tells me, I was like, hey, mum, look at me. I'm Batman. So I grabbed on the flying fox and tried to go as fast as I can. But I think in doing that, I kind of didn't grasp that I actually need to hang on tight. Yeah. So I kind of went forward and then kind of fell back and then I landed on my leg or something and my ankle kind of snapped and whoa. I think I broke my ankle and I just remember hopping back to my, it was so hot, hopping back to mom and then, you know, we ended up going whatever, the hospital or something. But from that day, it's kind of like, I've never been good with rides. Like, and I think that's where it comes from. Like, I can't go on like roller coasters. I could go on a flying fox, but I think that's where it ties in. Like, it was very high for me. So I'm a bit afraid of heights and I'm afraid of fast things. So I couldn't go on a roller coaster because it's kind of both of them. So yeah, I think that's where it ties in.
And you hate Batman now as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, Batman's chill.
He's a chill dude.
He's alright.
Yeah. Okay. Mine's
boobs. Boobs. Boobs.
Yeah.
VH. Yeah.
Jugs.
Jugs.
Get around him. All right. Mine actually happened kind of early high school, so it was a bit later than your stories, and it's a really mundane thing, but it freaked me out. We were just at like a camp. We were chilling and we were just kind of hanging out. And it was getting towards the end of the night. And you know, it was about, wasn't the end of the night? It was like 4 a.m., which at that stage in life is pretty late because I reckon it would have been like a year 8 camp. And
end of the night? What? Hold on, I'm confused. So you're up till 4 in the morning?
Yeah.
That's late.
That's fucking late.
That's hardcore. Out by the campfire or just you guys like
in the dorm talking? No, we're in the dorm talking. That's hardcore. In the dorm talking. So we weren't, because we had to be lights off at like 11 or something like that. But we were just up late, you know, thinking we were sick. But anyway, you start to get to that really weird kind of sleep-deprived state where you're almost drunk. You know what I mean? Like, you just start seeing weird shit.
Yeah.
And it looked over the beach and there was this big open window. And I remember just staring out there and just seeing flashes of light and stuff. Just weird things. And, like, trees would just all of a sudden be, like, blowing really strongly in the wind and then stop. Just dead stop type thing. So obviously the wind could do that, but it was just really weird things like that. I remember just tripping out, like my mates all saying, like telling ghost stories and shit like that. And none of those stories particularly stuck in my mind. It was just like a really scary period. And to that point, now to this point in my life, I don't like sleeping with big open windows. I have to close curtains.
No.
I don't like just look, I don't like getting up in the middle of the night and looking out and just seeing random shit, especially when I'm tired. Unless there's boobs out there
swaying in the wind and they're not jiggling but not
open windows I don't I'm not a big fan. Don't like them. I always close windows when I go to bed, close the curtains.
I wonder if anyone likes to sleep with open windows open, because I wouldn't.
No, I don't think
just
I.
seeing like some eerie trees and shit.
Curtain shut,
close that shit.
Anyway, that was mine.
I mean, like, I just remembered this story that it's not really connected to any topic, but it's just funny.
Is it about penises? Go right ahead.
No, but it's not. Well, I guess story. It's kind of like, well, I guess it's connected because, like, it started off being scary, but then it was the funniest thing I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah.
Year 5 outdoor red day, we were doing sailing at West Lakes.
Yeah.
And so we're all, like, everyone's getting changed in the change rooms afterwards. And I was one of the last. Yeah, that's the year 5 boys. I was one of the last to get changed. Everyone's kind of petering out, and I'm the last one in the change room, so I think. And I'm tying up my shoes, and from one of the shower cubicles, I hear like this chink, 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 and it wasn't a tap dripping because it was way too, you know, human made the sound. Okay. And I was kind of freaking out. I was like, oh, what the hell? So I kind of walked closer to it and it was getting loud. It was like, chink, 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 chink. I'm like, fuck.
Yeah.
And so I got the curtain and I just ripped open the curtain. And in there was
this kid in our year just sitting in a shower cubicle by himself on the ground eating a tin of cold spaghetti. Just like, no! And like, he just looked up at me like, please don't tell me the way I live.
Was he taking a shower? Or was
no,
he
fully clothed, sitting in the bottom of a shower recess, eating a cold tin of spaghetti with a fork.
That's good.
Wow.
That
poor good. Kid probably had self-esteem issues, but fuck, it was funny.
You would not have made those self-esteem issues better.
No, know, by just pissing myself off.
Look what Jones is doing.
He's eating home brand spaghetti.
Yeah. He's got parents. Oh, boy.
All right, cool. All right, well, yeah, that was a nice lighthearted way to round that segment out. To
kick it in the bollocks.
Let's keep on the lighthearted ways with answer some questions on our patented section.
Twitter questions.
All right, so the first question we've got here is actually from a guy who writes articles on a video game website called Game Skinny.
Game Skinny.
Yeah, so his name is Greg McGee, or Greg McGee.
Don't know. What's up, Greg, man?
Yo, my G.
His Twitter is at Coated Polecat. So if you're into gaming articles and whatnot, give this guy a follow.
Hell yeah.
Or if you just want another friend.
Yeah, do it.
Anyway, his question was actually, what do you think about this article that he's posted? Now, I'll give you guys cliff notes of it.
Let's do it.
Is,
I haven't read it.
Well, from what I can remember, because I read it about a week ago, but it's essentially talking about, you know, the next generation of gaming consoles are coming out, Microsoft One, PS4.
Yeah, I'm going to leave for about 5 minutes, so I have no idea what you guys
are. That's all right. You'll be able to get in on the general gist, okay. I think, of the question, because you don't have to know too much about gaming. Essentially, Microsoft came out at one point saying that you're going to have your console online 24/7. Mm-hmm. Like, you're going to have it always connected to the internet to be able to use it.
Yeah.
Now, there's a bit of outrage about this in the community and whatnot. And then they did a complete backflip on it. This and a few other things, just saying, like, actually, we were just joking, guys. You know, totally. When we made that enormous press conference, we're going to be doing something else.
It was all for the lols.
Yeah. And which most people would probably agree is better for everyone, because nobody wants to have a 24/7 online, like,
console.
And, you know, there was the whole thing about the time, like, people talking about, is it spying on me? Because it's got cameras and shit in it. And, you know, like, the whole NSA shit that went around. You know, the American government spying on everyone. So I guess where his article ends up is like, can you trust a company that's so set doing one thing and then flips their mind, just flips what they're thinking?
I think, can you
within
trust,
like a couple of weeks?
Can you trust politicians? No, it's like the same thing, isn't it?
Kind of, but this is like like Microsoft's obviously a huge company. Yeah. You'd think they get all these smart people in to decide which way they're going to go. And then they just change like that based on consumer reviews or consumer opinion.
I don't think anything is a good thing.
Yeah, or is that a good thing? Or is it a good thing?
Because it just goes to show that the majority of the people still have the power.
Yeah.
Which is what you want. You don't want, you know, the top 1% or whatever having the power of everything, which is kind of what's happening now. But it just goes to show that if everyone says, no, fuck that, we're not going to do that, then they have to change. And the fact that they did is brilliant. If they didn't, you're forcing people to live a life they don't want to.
It still makes you wonder what led them to make that decision originally, though. Because, like...
Yeah,
it was market information, man. That's all it is.
Could be.
Marketing info.
Yeah, but you got so much people that would work within Microsoft that would love gaming and everything. And they'd be like, no, that is the shittest idea. Personally, myself as a gamer, we don't want those things. And for that to lead up, and obviously the bigger the corporations are, usually the dumber they get, higher up.
That's true.
You know, so I don't know. For me, it's a good thing for people that liked the Xbox or whatever. But I mean, there was, I guess the kind of, it's kind of like Apple and all that shit, the fanfare stuff. Yeah, so obviously the PS3 came out and it seemed a lot better for consumers, so I guess they kind of tried to align it with that. So
That's the thing. If there wasn't a PS4, they probably wouldn't have changed their mind if they didn't have that direct competition. Yeah. But when you do.
So I agree with, like, it's a good thing that they backflipped, because the amount of backlash that they got on, like, Reddit was ridiculous. And they did, like, surveys, which would you rather, the Xbox One or the PS4? PS4 was, like, 95%. Because one of the other things is, like, you can't sell your games. Like, there's no more used games market as well. And so they allowed it, because it's like, why would you not do that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous. So, yeah, they use it just as a way to backflip, and because they do that, shows it flexible.
Yeah.
So yeah, sick article, mate.
Yeah, nice.
I enjoyed it a lot.
Keep it up, and feel free to tweet us more of your articles, and we'll give opinions on it in the future. But if they're too heavily gaming related, Corbs may.
Yeah, I'm just gonna have to have an injection of tits.
We'll just throw the word boob in there every now and then. Yeah. Entertained. Be like, oh, the Microsoft boob. Nah, cool. All right, next question is from at AntiVSOP. He's tweeted us quite a bit. Thank you for that. And she also sent us a picture, which we tweeted, that she took of actually around Adelaide, where two signs lined up. So if you haven't seen that, go and look at the Twitter page.
Look at our Twitter page. That's all we're trying to say. Just do it.
Be our friend.
Yeah.
Go to Facebook.
Be more active about us. Jesus.
Get off your ass and look at your Twitter.
Our Twitter. All right. And her question is, so you've all been asked to be a voice actor in a new film or a game. Would you like to be a main or a side character? So some dude came to you and just like, yo, you can be a main or side. Like, is there any time, I guess, you'd want to be a side character? Side characters sometimes get a lot of popularity because they don't even have a lot of depth, but if they're good fun, then you're just like, I love this guy.
Yeah.
I don't want to see a whole movie of him, but I love him for the 10 minutes he's in it type thing.
Yeah, that's true. It was very time consuming, those voiceover things.
Mm.
Like those animated movies where they get celebrities to do the voice of it. Those celebrities are going in and out of the studios for 3 years, and the average movie takes like 6 months to do professionally.
Yeah.
So if you were like literally just under the pump with all these other movie offers and stuff, you might be like, yeah, just give me a side one for now.
But let's say it's you.
Oh, it's me personally. Yeah. Main. Yeah.
Main.
Yeah, you get a lot of money for it.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah, as long as you're getting
paid. All the royalties and stuff, like every talking doll they had, or every little voice pad, or every. Yeah.
Yeah, no, main would be good, but I mean, like, thinking about it, I probably wouldn't be able to make a career out of it. So it'd be my one thing. So would I prefer to be like a really, I'd almost prefer to be a really cool side character that just hits up conventions and shit. And then there's like five lines everyone knows that I say.
No, that's what I said.
And then I like, yeah. I understand what you mean about the main. Obviously, there's obvious benefits to that. But
yeah.
I can see benefits of it.
I'd be down with a one-hit wonder. If you get shitloads of money, who gives a stuff?
I don't know if it's going to be a big movie or not.
There's no, it's not specified. So it could be like your mate's movie that he's making.
Oh, well, give him the side role.
But if it was like, you know, the next Pixar or something, you want him to get a main role in that.
I mean, money aside, if it was about the money, like, shit, I'd have a main role. But I think I'd get sick to death of my own voice. Because I'm one of those people who, like, when I listen to the podcast, I'm like, I don't sound like that, do I?
Everyone does.
God damn it.
Yeah. I have my voice.
So, yeah, I'd hate to sit there play a game with me, like, whining like I think I do. I don't, like, obviously money, but shit, give me the main role.
Yeah, that's true. The game would be more annoying. Because the games you play for hours. Yeah. And if I just heard myself, like, ow. Yeah, that'd get kind of frustrating. No, but cool. Thanks for the question. All right, and our last question this week from Notebooks Crawler at Notebooks Crawler. His question is, how far do you think you'd get a TV celebrity dancing show?
Not very.
Well, I don't meet the celebrity criteria for one.
Mm.
I wouldn't pass auditions, basically.
No. I think I'm getting worse as dancing as I'm getting older. And not just because it's a stereotype of, oh, old people can't dance. But I don't see the grooviness of music I used to. I used to go nuts to like Justin Timberlake when I was trying to pick up some bird at a club. But now I'm just like, oh, I don't need to dance. I don't need to do this anymore. I can just sit back and go, yeah, that's a cool song.
Do you think the competition aspect of it, though, would drive you at all?
Yeah, probably right. I haven't really thought about it.
So you'd have to be absolutely hammered on that show, though.
I would have to be, because the only time I can really dance is if I'm like pretty on my way, pretty tipsy. Otherwise, I'm just like, this is shit house.
Yeah, I'd get terrible
stuff. I think the one hard thing would be is like you matched up with usually a pretty hot dancer.
Yes.
Now, I get pretty nervous. Like, I don't know. Like, someone's like, you know, they get really pretty intimate. They're into each other, rubbing each other. Like, I think I'd fail. I'd be like, fuck, I'll just sit back and fucking, you know, just watch you.
Watch this chair. Yeah.
I'll sit in this chair while you dance around.
Exactly. I'd be out the first week. I think it'd be really hard to dance with a really hot chick that haven't really met that much. And you're just like, oh, okay, I'll do this. And do, you know.
You need to crack a boner. That's what you're trying to do.
You don't want to get a boner on live TV.
Yeah, no.
That or you'd have a sexual assault case against you in the first week.
Yeah. Yeah. I think Fez would do it. I know Fez isn't here, but how about Fezzy?
Oh, he'd be terrible. No, he would probably be good in the fact that he'll be the new sensation of how bad is this guy.
Yeah,
and
okay.
On ads and stuff.
That's
just
true, yeah.
Just hell awkward to like hold her on the small of her back and just like, oh, do I?
So it'd be like those ones where, you know, there's someone that goes in those singing shows and they're like, all right, we'll see what you can do next week. But it's kind of just like,
yeah, you string him along just to get some internet views.
Yeah,
definitely.
So he'd be the freak.
He would struggle.
What about Fish Boy?
Fishy. I reckon Fish would actually probably do the best out of us.
Yeah, I think so.
Or limit Leroy?
Nah, Leroy would be awful.
Fish has got the looks as well, so he'd get the women voting in, wanting to keep him on, I reckon.
Yeah.
Maybe.
The lady killer vote.
Yeah. Yeah. No, Fish would be alright, I reckon.
That bastard.
Yeah. Well danced, man.
Not only does he not come to the podcast anymore.
We're giving him compliments.
Yeah,
no,
yeah, fuck you, Fish.
Yeah, Fish, you're a dickhead.
All right, cool. That takes us to the end of Twitter question this week. And as such, the end of our podcast. Don't have Fez to take us out. So firstly, just quickly, so if you want to be part of the podcast and you'd like to tweet us a question, hit us up on twitter.com/goodfriends, letter N Fez. Also, if you want to tweet, give us a longer question, or you just like to see some of the videos and whatnot that we post semi-frequently, go over to facebook.com/goodfriendsandfez. Thanks for listening, guys.
Thanks.
Thank you.
See ya.
Oh, Halloween. Ooh.
Oh, yeah.
I'm coming to catch ya.
I like Keanu Reeves.
I'm coming to get you.
Don't put this bus below 60 or it's gonna blow.
I know kung fu.
Hide your children, motherfuckers.
No fares, best outro yet.